When I was growing up and I was going to summer camp, the last night of summer camp was always reserved for some shenanigans. It always seemed like the kids that would go to that camp, that they would kind of save it all up, and then on Friday night, with us all going home on Saturday, there would be some pranks, some plots that would be devised, and they would go out and try to enact these things. Well, as a counselor, as a youth pastor, I didn't really appreciate those pranks or those plots any longer. So I had a pretty strict rule with my kids, but that led us to be kind of a bit of a base. And what I mean by that is that I had a friend, his name was Cliff, and on one of the last nights of camps, actually I should rephrase that, on the last night of camp, he came to my cabin because he knew that my kids weren't planning pranks. And he showed up decked out in camo wearing night vision goggles, right? You see, the kids, they had typically gone with, let's go ring the bell and wake up everybody in the middle of the night. That's a classic prank. But they had also gotten to the point where they started releasing the boats into the lake, and it took a ton of man hours to get these all back and put back, which sucked up all the time for the counselors and the people working the camp, who Saturday was their only day of rest. So these guys were pretty serious. And so they were keeping an eye on all these students. They're on radios. They have night vision goggles. They're decked out in camo. And it's all because these kids were sojourners. And what I mean by that, we're going to see that word today, is that these kids were just passing through. It wasn't their place. They didn't have to be up there all summer. They were going home the next day. So they didn't care what happened to the camp, the counselors, or even the other campers. They just wanted a good night of fun, right? Well, that's what happens when you're a sojourner, is when you're just passing through, the natives, the people of that place, they're looking out for you. They're watching your cues. They're watching you to see what you'll do. And a lot of times, they're waiting for you to pull a prank. They're waiting for you to do something against them. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today and the advice Peter gives to us sojourners. So let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for your word. Lord, to think that you set this all up, this all out, to speak to us even today. Lord, through so many different authors, through different styles, through different times, you set forth these words. And Lord, we thank you specifically for Peter as he worked through Mark and as he penned this letter to speak to us, to give us hope and to understand how we can live as sojourners in this world. Lord, we thank you for this and we pray it in your Son's holy name. Amen. All right, so we're continuing our series in Exiles. We've been in 1 Peter, and as we've been doing, I'm not going to put the words right up on the screen right away. We're going to read it together, so I hope you have your Bibles. If not, there's some pew Bibles in front of you, or a really easy thing to do. You won't hear this very often, but Google it. Just put in 1 Peter 2, go to verse 11, and we're going to read it together. I'll give you a second. I'd love hearing those pages turn. All right, I'm hoping you're there. It says this, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners," that word is sojourners, "as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor." Okay, so there is a lot to unpack in this. 1 Peter 2:9. This is what Pastor Marcos just preached on. Peter is coming to the end of a section where he has been building us up, letting us know who we are in Christ. And he says this, that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So Peter has already laid this groundwork and he tells you who you are in Christ. Let's take a second. Heavenly Father, I pray for whatever emergency those sirens are going to. Lord, may you bless them and may you help and heal and do what is necessary. Amen. So we have been in this letter already learning about who we are in Christ, and he builds it all up to this point. This is a beautiful expression. But what Peter's going to do now in verse 11 is he is going to then tell us, okay, so what? What are we going to do about it, right? He is going to tell us to pivot, right? Pivot. We've learned all this. Now it's time to turn that corner and talk about what we're going to do about it. This is a picture from the show, the sitcom Friends, and it is this hilarious scene where they're trying to take this huge couch up a very narrow stairwell. And Ross, the guy pictured here, he's saying, pivot, pivot. And I imagine this being part of the letter is, okay, we've built this huge thing. Now, let's apply it, but we got to get it around this corner. So what do? We pivot, right? And that's what 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 are all about. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners, sojourners, and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. I keep using this word sojourners because these are people who are just passing through. These are travelers. It says foreigners, yes, by all means, they're foreigners, but it's a little something more than that. We are sojourners because we are not of this world. We are just passing through. And so we're going to feel a little different. There's going to be something a little bit different about us. And that term exiles are people who can't go home. They're the people that are kind of displaced for a time and not, they're not just passing through, but they're going to be here for a little while. Right? This reflects during the time of the exiles that happen in Israel. Babylon comes and they take away some of the best and the brightest of Israel, and you get the books like Daniel and you get books like Jeremiah, and Jeremiah's telling them like, hey guys, settle in. You're not just travelers, you're something a little bit more. Settle in. You're actually going to pray for the peace and the prosperity of the city that you'll be in. You're going to pray for whose lands you're going to be in, because they're going to be your homes for a while. So dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles. Friends, we might just be passing through. We might just be sojourners. But we're also exiles who are going to be here for a little while. So let's pray for the peace and the prosperity of the city that we live in. And it says, abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. We've already seen this in other places in Scripture. 1 Peter 2:4. Nope, that's not 1 Peter 2:4. No, it is. Never mind. I had a moment there. We covered this last time I preached. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, and slander of every kind. We've seen this, and there's other places. Take off the old self, right, that we're going to get rid of. We're going to abstain. There is going to be those things that we might be naturally inclined to. You know, you've heard it said, don't murder, but I tell you, don't even be angry with your brother, right? There's those things that we might be inclined to that we're going to have to put off. We're going to have to abstain. We're going to have to keep from it because it wages a war in our soul. Now, I've thought about this before. You know, if you've watched any cartoons or even some shows where, you know, there's that little good voice, the little angel that pops up on someone's shoulder, right? And then there's the devil on the other one that's trying to convince you to do something else. I, I often imagine the war being that, right? There's just this little internal monologue that's happening where, oh, you really should go do that thing. No, 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 that's not a good thing. No, but you're going to have a good time doing it. Oh, no, but, you know, that little internal dialogue. The way that Peter's talking about this is this is a fully pitched, all-out, trenched warfare in your life. That old self, it wants to take and keep as much ground as it possibly can. The Holy Spirit is working in your life, but they are going to dig in and make sure that you don't continue in the way of the Holy Spirit, that you don't continue to be sanctified, because that old self, that old man, as the Bible describes it, wants to hold on. It's a civil war, or I should say a not-so-civil war, right? Now, there is great power in the Holy Spirit, but are we going to help the advancement of the entrenched? Are we going to help the advancement of the Holy Spirit in our lives by abstaining from those evil things that is very clearly visible in our life? 1 Peter 2:12 says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. My friend Cliff, he came into my cabin because he knew we weren't going to be out. He knew that we could stay there, but he almost assumed that the other cabins, they were going to be up to no good, right? So the good deeds of my students had already proven themselves, but for him, he was looking at all those exiles, all those foreigners, all those sojourners, those people who did not live up the mountain but only were visiting the mountain. He wanted to catch them. And his motive the rest of the week is he wanted them to have a good time. He wanted them to know the Lord, but he was also in that mode of like, okay, they're going to pull a prank and I'm going to catch them, right? That's what your neighbors are doing. That's what your coworkers are doing. They're looking for the hypocrisy of the church through you. Live in such a way that your good deeds shine. Live in such a way that when they look at you like, wow, I can't catch them doing anything. But instead, what they're doing is inspiring. It says this in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We learned this in a few sermons ago. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus himself said, hey, look, you're going to be so different. You're going to be a light on the hill that can be seen from all around, right? They're not going to need night vision goggles to see what you're up to, because you're living in the light of Christ. And that is the advice of this verse. 11 and 12 sets us up for what Peter's about to do. And for three sections, it's going to take us a while to get through it, but for three sections, he's going to tell us how to live such good lives that they shine before men, that they shine before our community. And what he's going to do, he's going to break it down into three sections. Living such good lives as citizens, as you serve, and as family. As citizens, as you serve, and as family. How do we do that? How do we live in those contexts? And he's going to spell it all out for us. But this morning, all we have time for is how do we live such good lives as citizens? How do we live such good lives as citizens? Well, we're going to build up to this. In 1 Peter 2:17, it's our theme verse for this morning. We're going to get there, but I'm going to slowly build up to it. And the first thing I want to talk about is living such good lives by honoring the emperor. Maybe that's some of the stuff that stood out to you as I was reading it. Honor the emperor. It says this, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or," where's the rest of it? What did I do with it? "Or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. So often in my classes, I'm teaching you to keep the text in context. So think about the book of 1 Peter. When was it written? Pastor Marcos started us off by saying that there's these churches who have been exiled. They've been kicked out of Rome as Christian believers. They are sent to Asia Minor, and he is writing to these churches of displaced people. But they were displaced by Emperor Claudius. So depending on when this letter was written, it might have been written while Claudius, the guy that kicked them out of Rome, was still emperor. He kicked them out of Rome in 49 AD. So if it was written somewhere between 49 and 54 AD, Claudius was still emperor. And one of the reasons he kicked these people out, he was trying to shore up the religion in Rome, and he was specifically interested in what was called the emperor's cult. Like, people would literally worship the emperor, and he wanted to make sure that that was healthy and good. And these Christians, they had some accusations against them. People didn't quite understand the Christians. They were coming out of the Jewish sect, and there was these accusations that later on, they were atheists because they didn't honor the emperor. They didn't worship the emperor. They didn't go through offering incense and offering these things at the temples to the emperor. So they were called atheists, which I think is hilarious because we're not atheists, right? We believe in God, not in nothing. They were also accused of being cannibals. There was this thing about eating flesh and drinking blood. Does that ring a bell, right? And there was also accusations of incest because they went around calling each other brothers and sisters. So Claudius is like, what is going on with these weird people? I'm going to cast them out of Rome. He wasn't very friendly toward him. Now, Claudius wasn't the worst. There was an emperor before him named Caligula who was nuts. And there was another emperor that followed him, which was probably the worst of all, which was Nero. Nero reigned from 54 to 68 AD, and he was a megalomaniac. He was a narcissist. He was nuts. In 64 AD, he let Rome burn, and then he blamed it on the Christians. And he didn't like the Christians so much. He went after them as a scapegoat for all his problems. And what he did was he literally would sew animal skins onto Christians and then send them out amongst wild packs of dogs or threw them to the beasts in the Colosseum. He dipped them in wax and then burned them as torches on crosses for his parties in his garden. The letter of 1 Peter was either written during Claudius, who expelled these Christians out of Rome, or it was written during Nero, where they were actively being abused and persecuted. And it's to this context that Peter says, honor the emperor. What? How are we supposed to do that? It says in Romans 13:1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Peter and Paul looked at the authorities in a specific light. They believed that even though they may be persecuted, even though terrible things might come from these individuals, that they still had to be honored because God had put them in their place. You could say for such a time as this. We are to honor the emperor, to honor the governors who have been put in their place because they're supposed to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. Now, there's a certain moment in Acts where Peter seems to be contradicting this very bit of advice. You see, he's brought before the Sanhedrin. He's been preaching Jesus in the temples, and there's quite a commotion, quite a stir. So the Sanhedrin brings them in and say, okay, look, you've got to stop. You can't do this anymore. We've already killed your teacher, your rabbi. It's time to be done. And he says this, we must obey God rather than human beings. He's telling the Sanhedrin, the people who were in charge, he's telling, no, I can't obey you. He honors them, but he can't obey them. And so there's this nuance here. And I believe we see it in our own history in America during the civil rights. Martin Luther King led a nonviolent movement. And what he did was he actually showed the injustices in the system by being willing to take the punishment for the things he did. He ends up in jail quite a bit. But he also did it in such a way that the violence that was enacted against his people who were acting nonviolently made everyone question what was right and what was wrong. Let your good deeds shine before men. I would be the first to advocate obeying just laws. One has not only a legal, but a moral responsibility to obey just laws. Conversely, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. Peter would say that differently. I would be the first to advocate obeying just laws to honor the emperor. Conversely, one has a moral responsibility to obey the word of the Lord. The Lord trumps the emperor. And we see that in verse 17 as well. There is a part that says we are to fear God. It actually comes before honoring the emperor. We are to fear God. Now, I put lightning on here mainly out of the joke where, you know, you say something or do something and you say like, well, I hope God doesn't strike me with lightning, right? There is a sense of that. I don't think God sends natural disasters to punish you, but I do believe that we should still sit in awe and in reverence of God and his power because he is holy and we are not. He trumps the emperor. For it is God, it's God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. It's God's will. That's the thing we're seeking. We're going after God's will. And by doing it, those good deeds, those things that we do, they're going to silence the ignorant talk of foolish people, even if that foolish talk goes all the way up to the emperor. Live as free people. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's servants or slaves, it says. So here's the thing. This is what I think we do as Christians. So I'm going to take a bit of a side note. We get so convinced of our own righteousness that sometimes we use that freedom to cover up our own evil, whether we know it or not. I think the greatest example of this exists on social media right now, behind the screen, right? That we come to a point and we see someone's post and you're just indignant. I can't believe they said such a thing. They are so wrong. And then you get into the comment section and you light them up. Let me ask you, would you have said that to their face? You stand behind these words because you're anonymous. You didn't think about the human on the other side of it that you've just written away. And I think we as Christians, because we think that God's backing us up or something, that we don't use the greatest bit of tact. And sometimes we do it to their face. What's that part that Jesus says about the speck in your eye? Oh, wait, it's a plank in your own eye, right? So we hide behind this screen. And we say these things and we do these things and we never take the time to stop and reflect on how does this really reflect? Have we abstained from evil? Have we done good deeds that will shine before men? Or have we used our freedom and our own self-righteousness as a cloak and said, okay, look, let me tell you. Let me have at you. It says this. And this is found in the Preacher's Commentary by Paul Cedar. Liberty, the freedom that we have in Christ, misused, it's like a mighty river flooding its banks and bringing terrible destruction upon all in its path. Think about the recent hurricane. That freedom, that liberty misused is like that mighty river, or it's like that hurricane that just brings this terrible swath of destruction. Think about the hypocrisy that Christianity is accused of time and time again. But liberty, our freedom used as service, is like a mighty river flowing within its banks and bringing life and refreshment to all who drink its waters. Let me say that again. Our liberty and freedom used in the act of service is like a mighty river flowing within its banks to bring life and refreshment to all who drink its waters. So how does this play out? How does this liberty and freedom in the fear of God as we honor the emperor, how does it play out? It first plays out in our love of each other. We just can't seem to get away from this, right? Love God, love others, and it begins with they will know you are Christians by your love for one another. So 1 Peter 2:17 says, show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. Let's begin with the family of believers. Are you loving them and are you loving them well? Are you using your liberty and your freedom to love them as good citizens? You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And this is together. Look at those words, chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation. It is through the family of God that we do these things as we love one another. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let me finish with this. As we are to respect all, it says. Verse 2:17, it starts with that, respect all. Out of the respect of all comes that love of brother and sister. It comes with that fear of God. It comes with that honoring of emperor. When we respect everyone, it keeps everything in its perspective. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. We covered this verse in my Matthew class just this last week. And the reality is we can't be perfect. But in the pursuit of perfect, we are loving beyond. To live such good lives, we need to love and respect beyond what we're capable of. We need to invite the Holy Spirit to help us, not just love our family. Sometimes we need help doing that, right? Sometimes we need help loving our neighbor, loving our coworkers, loving our boss. But have you gotten to the point where you even love your enemy? That you've forgiven those who have persecuted you? Respect all. Love the brotherhood, the family of God. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word here this morning. May it continue to work in and through us. May it continue to draw us near to you and to one another. And Lord, help us. Help us to respect. Help us to honor, no matter who they are, from the greatest, the emperor, to the smallest. Pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we live in a world that's increasingly more about the self, we want to live as foreigners, sojourners, and exiles who spend more time focused on the body of Christ and on the one who leads us, Jesus Christ. Amen. So may you go in the name of the Father. May you experience his power throughout the week. May you go in the love of Jesus Christ and feel intimately his salvation. And may you go in the workings of the Holy Spirit as he continues to sanctify you to make you more like Jesus Christ. Amen.